and those who are coming in. And we will start again our series of concluding this month, a series on the psychology, and then we're going to start a hard series on the book of Romans, the practicality of God in Romans. Meantime, we're going to sing our classic song, 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence because we have the right to do so through Christ Jesus, our High Priest. And we pray that tonight, as we sing praises to your name and meditate in your word, we will be able to reason again how to face those personal conflicts of our life and how you counsel in the scripture to deal with them and to get out of difficulties. The best book of psychology is your book, Lord, the Bible. And if we know how to look on it, and if we know how to discover in the book the secrets of life, then we will be prosperous, peaceful, and our life will be directed by you. Bless this evening, and bless those who have to leave and go home, and bless those who perhaps are sick, and may your presence, and may the wonders of your care be upon our life. Thank you, Lord, that we conclude the day in your house, a full day in your house, because this is your day. Bless us as we praise you. In Jesus we pray, amen. We encourage you to take the hymn books and select a song. And if you are listening and want to participate, you can do so through via internet and request a song if you have our hymn books. And if you have a title of a song, you can do as well, and we'll look for the number in our hymn book. Meanwhile, Brother Plika, what song should we have? Number 36. All right, that speaks about the Word of God very openly by a great mighty man, Mr. Luther. All right? Number 36 speaks about the mighty fortress is our God. And the last stanza makes a great deal with the Word of God. So first and last stanza in number 36. See God as he really is. I love the ending. He said, on earth is not his equal. And he is facing the whole throne of the Roman Catholic Empire. And he said, on this earth, there is no equal with God. Now you see the secret on the last stanza. Here we are.
Thank you.
man who studied the scripture and found the scripture the fountain for his life. You have one, Raquel? 512. All right. 512. Raquel is on the piano. And I'm so glad that for 25 years she has been faithful there on the piano. And it is a blessing for a husband to have a wife that follow and goes through. So you have a long way, Mary, to go with Greg, eh? That's good. Well, that's the secret of life, don't we? And we want it
so
that way.
She has to learn to play the piano.
She has to learn to play the piano. You have to learn to sing. Superb. Yeah. All right. 512. All right. That's in my will. When I die, my wife will sing this for me, face to face. All right? You may select another song of your choice, and you like it, Brother Anthony?
388.
And how was the Spanish class? I was not in the Spanish class today, but Dr. Dante was there, and that was good.
Yeah.
Eh? Compromise with Christ. Yes. All right. 388. All right. Have your own way. Yeah. Today in you preach there. What do you preach about? Jonah chapter 4, when everything is over.
Yeah. Why was he angry at God for being merciful, gracious, and kind
to the enemies?
To the enemies.
Just the opposite of mercy. Mm-hmm. And what do you say?
You said because Jonah did not like the Ninevites, because they're the enemies, but he loved the mercy that was to him, but not to the enemies. What we also noted is that the reason that he fled in the first place was because he knew his repentance was possible. Because God never sends a messenger into a people unless he's expecting a repentance.
Yeah, that's correct. That is super Calvinism, we call it, but it's just Bible.
That's
what the Bible said. Yeah, but in theology they call it super Calvinism. But it's hyper Calvinism. But it's that's what Calvin said. It took about 1,669 years for the church to wake up to that. But and Luther never saw it, that God will never start a work that he cannot accomplish. We say in psychology, and this is exactly what happened. And how beautiful it is see what we read today. That Jesus said, if you have heard that you love your brother and hate your enemy, that's exactly what Jonah was doing. But boy, thank God for the New Testament. Everything changed to a new relationship with God. Thank you, brother. That was good. And that was deep and good. All right, Brother Chris, if you have a hymn, which one will be?
How about number 45?
Say it again.
How about number, actually, find another one, actually. 263.
263. All right, 263. All right, 263, a shelter in the time storm. Personal prayer request for you. My car has been with me for 13 years and had 200,000 miles on it. It's very good. But broke the brake system in the back, and it's complicated with the fact that there are no mechanics who study engineering, and I was explaining the factory that each wire carry a potential of per second intensity, and so they cannot replace wires. They have to measure the receptacle, the input, the output, and the potential and the heat of the inertia of the car, which is being calculated. If my car, I did it myself. My car goes 60 so much heat and so much this, and I put a measurement, and I give all the information. So design the wire system so that the system work. Is it? That's no longer in America valuable. We throw away things and we put things new. And I already paid $3,000, and the factory called the dealer and said, this guy looks like he knows mechanics. So they called me and said, bring the car back. I did it on Friday. Give me a rental. And they said, we're going to drive this car until we'll drive right. Or we're going to give you pick up a car here, we give you the money back, and we give you a good price for the car. I don't want to buy a new car. It's very comfortable. My legs are stretched good. And for driving around here in Spain. So you pray that the Lord will give them just the will to do it. They know how to do it. But you need to ask. They called somebody in Salinas and said, what degree he has? Is it a degree in mechanical engineering? No, you have to get a mechanical engineer who knows how to... each piece that you see in a socket has an intensity value, and you need to calculate it in that way. You don't replace the socket in your wall and plug an iron or something. You have to know the intensity, which is one, and something like this. I'm going to ask in the church. Now that I see the drawings are not so carefully done, I'm going to ask them the intensity of the plug system and so on. It's very important because in due time, they burn, and then you don't know what it is. And you see a light that burn and something, and it's the wiring system has been wrong calculated. Russell was very good for that. He recalculated all the wiring in my house. He knew more than what you people think. And you leave Russell alone, and he will do a great job. But it's you pray that I will get my car back. I don't want to spend even $15,000 or $16,000 or $20,000 when I don't have to. Even though it's cheaper for me, that car has spent, 18 miles per gallon in the city, but it's cheaper than $20,000. A new car. So Raquel and I are praying that to find God's will in that matter. All right. Any other hymn? All right. Rebecca, do you have a favorite song in the hymn book? Say the name. In the Garden, 264. Wow. That is outstanding. See, we have an automatic computer here in the assistant. See, when you're wired right for the hymns, we have to teach him to sing, that's all. Number 264, In the Garden. This was favor of a lady by the name Miriam. That was Ron's mother. Always in prayer meetings, she will say, Miriam will say, remember Miriam died of gangrene, both legs. I was in the hospital when the doctors went to do this and this. She said, no. I said, we're only a witness. I said, my pastor is on the waiting room. So I went in, and the doctor said, you talk to her, and she don't want surgery, that's fine. And I took her in my arms into the surgery room, and the doctors left her there and died an hour later. But she said, I'm just going to heaven, doctor. I said, don't cut my other leg, and then cut this. I'm just going to heaven. Very beautiful lady. Miriam was her name. 264.
Thank you.
these are authentic experience of salvation, sorrow, joy. That's what I like, the hymn book. It's no floppy. There are new songs who are good, but this one, the majority, are the heart of the people. All right? Chris, you have another one.
32.
All right. We go to 32. Yes, blessed be the name. Yeah, that's my favorite too. Blessed be the name.
32.
One more song before we go in a new series of three sermons. Yes.
About
269. All right. And before we go into the second part of psychology, which is confronting conflicts in relationship with people. All right. 269.
Teach me to sing. I guess we'll have to pick an acceptable duet to do. What do you think, Gregory? Silent Night, your way? And how, you know, his Silent Night, his way? I'll sing it. What do you think? Is that one of my best singing ever? What would you guys like to sing? Got one more. Okay, Gregory. 334, I think we can handle that one. Let's pray that Gregory will be able to get the music for this, for his oboe, and he can bring the oboe and play for us. We've heard him bring the clarinet and the viola, and we got to get viola and violin. Yeah, I want to get him to get the clarinet, the oboe, and the viola all at the same, violin all at the same time. Okay, not quite. That won't work. 334.
We are delighted to face the last section on biblical psychology. I want you to know that these 2 months, I've taught for 2 months the first section of biblical psychology, and now the second section for reduced time for 3 Sundays. I have 6 months study weekly, and it's used in 37 jails. And there have been, there are more. The 17,000 students studying this course on biblical psychology, and is what the psychiatrist in jail authorized. Once you finish the course and you have approval, then they lower your stay in jail because your behavior is supposed to change. And the chaplains, they beg me for books. The only thing I have is the Bible as a book and then the outlines. And of course, I have spoken this in, I put a chair beside a microphone and I talk to the chair. And so I have over 37 lessons done in that way and have been a blessing to the people in the jail. This is refreshing. This is not looking to your past and looking into who your grandfather was or great grandfather. This is looking into the scripture, what the scripture said. And they are more, less confrontational and more convicting, they said. But they don't know what God is convicting. And what impressed me is that psychiatry has accepted these courses. And now they are afresh right here after Salinas, that big jail over there, the Lino, I think it is. And it's going to be started over there. All right. The second section on the studies of, if you give a little more on the microphone here, then the tape cuts better. The second section of the study is confronting conflict in relationship. And I'm going to have 3 lessons. And it's relationship between you and somebody else. Could be your wife, could be your son, could be your daughter, could be in each other. Now, the first one is going to be coping with emotional disturbance. From time to time, people get emotionally disturbed. Perhaps they read wrong other people. Perhaps they read wrong themselves, okay? And they do not know what to do. And so, therefore, they become emotionally unbalanced. And when you become emotionally unbalanced, society in which we live in psychiatry will give you drugs. And there are 5 different drugs for emotional imbalance, which do nothing except sleep your brain. And so this has been a very important subject And you have to see it. You have to read. I have the pleasure from time to time to correct the exams. And you have to see there is a questions. Of course, the outlines are, each outline is 7 pages. And the questions are on personal basis. With whom are you upset? With whom, what emotionally thing do? And you can see when the people write and how they see now in the scripture where they are wrong. I don't want them to point to somebody else. I want to point to themselves. And it's amazing. And one judge told me, you got more confessions in those little booklets than I got in 2 hours of court. Because, see, they are with themselves alone. Now, here is the thought for you today. We who are convinced that God himself is the one who heals and make us whole need to remain open to the different avenues through which he brings healing. Very important. Some people are narrow-minded in the Bible, don't allow any other thoughts in the Bible. And you need to consider all the thoughts concerning the scripture in the Bible. So now we go into the study ourselves. Now, the first thing, if you are going to have confront conflicts and you're going to cope with emotional disturbances, the first thing you have to do is a biblical reorientation. A biblical reorientation, all right? And the first thing is a relaxed attitude. You go to the doctor and they say, I give you Prozac, and Prozac will relax you, not will sleep you. A relaxed attitude. Now, look at in Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 30. And I'm using what I'm using in the jail, the English Standard Version, because some of the people do not know English well. And so this version, the English Standard Version, is what the jail has adopted because people understand it. And the Bible says this, a tranquil heart. What the King James said? Sound. Say it again. Sound. A sound heart. You know, what do you use that word sound in many different ways. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. But envy makes the bones rot. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. In other words, a biblical reorientation is a relaxed attitude in the heart. Not just in the mind, okay, everything is going to be okay. It's in the heart that you are okay, that you are right, that you are doing the right thing, that regardless of what the circumstances are, that you and God are one, and you are doing what God said. That should give you relax. Doesn't mean to give you an easy way to go, but will relax your way. All right? With this business of the car has disturbed me. Anybody can get emotional disturbance. The other day I cry, and I said to the general manager of the Ford company in Detroit, I said, you know, from my daddy's on, we are four people, and Ford has been a great part of my life from 1941. So you have to help me. And he said, we will. He said, we can build anything you want to if you got the money. If you want a 1941, give us $100,000, we give you a 1941. But he said, we will take care of you. And I had to trust the Lord for those words. We'll take care of you. It just makes you uneasy. Then I had to pray, and I said, Lord, give me a tranquil heart that whatever happened to me is what you want. And I had to accept it. Even though I maybe don't understand it, and I said, no, at this time in my life, I don't need to buy a car. If I had to do it, I even told her, okay, maybe don't need two cars. We need neither one, because I was emotionally under stress. And we all can get into this. But a tranquil heart gives light to the flesh. And I knew quickly, because I was running in the treadmill, and I was not performing, because each time I put the computer on the side and I perform accordingly. Every day I had to do 10% more. And I was not performing. I was 10% less. And I knew that my body was decaying, 10% on the speed, 10% on the muscles. And I said, Lord, it's slow in my flesh, is because my mind. And so I get out of the gym, I pray, and I come back smiling. Whatever happened, happened. I'm convinced. I don't know how our church is not convinced of prayer, don't you think? This morning, that's what I asked Brother Nika to pass here. Because we pray. You have to be on the phone when the doctor said, doesn't matter, Pastor, don't come. He's going to die tonight, but we're going to try. It's all paid, insurance paid, the whole surgery and so on. I try my best to do something we never did. to refix and readjust a valve with little plastics and so on and see that it works. And when the next day I called, he said, hey, the guy is waiting for you in the room. And the same way it was here was the second day. Now, listen, prayer does and should give us peace in our physical life. All right? Very important. Now, we need a relaxed attitude, and also we need gentle words. In Proverbs 15, if you move your Bible, Proverbs 15, verse 4, said, a gentle tongue, and I want to ask you quickly in the King James, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. So what the King James said there? A wholesome. Wholesome? Yeah, I like that. A wholesome tongue. So Jesus said, watch what you said, because what you said comes from the heart. See, start correctly. A tranquil heart. A sound heart will produce a sound vocabulary. See, and so there are two parts in the biblical reorientation of ours. They are very important. A relaxed attitude, gentle words. And the chaplains are telling me in jail that the last thing you hear in jail is gentle words. Because more tough you are, more leader you are in the jail. And you are teaching just the reverse for those men to be. All right? Now, it is better, number three, the Bible said, to eat soup with someone you love than a steak with someone you hate. All right, that's, I put it in that way. Proverbs 15, 17. Either way, I like soup and I like a steak, but I think if people think that soup is something cheap and a steak is something, of wealthy people. So here it is, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 17. Look at what Proverbs said. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than fattened ox and hatred with it. And the King James said in verse 17, better. How the King James reads over there? Same thing. Okay. All right. So, in other words, doesn't depend on your luxury style, your happiness. This is what I want to say. You are in jail. They're teaching people in jail and they eat those prefab meals and so on. That has nothing to do with your happiness. First thing you do when you visit them, they say, you know, Pastor, here we have to eat all of these. And these are texts prove it. That's nothing to do. I said, when you eat in a luxury hotel and you were cheating somebody, that was a bad bar. And you are paying for that. But if you eat whatever comes into your mind clean, it's going to give you happiness. So it doesn't depend on the physical provision, our wonderful life. So we need to, in this America of ours, where the dream of America, to have a car and a house and so on, that's not the dream of America. The dream of America is to worship God free. That's the dream of America. And so we need to reorientate our mind. Now, number four, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. That's important. And this is number one. This is number one cause of people remaining in jail. From time to time, the probation officer will bring them into a consultation. And many times I spent hours with Prestige Giacomo. I don't know if some of you remember Prestige Giacomo, who was a consultant, was an officer in the court for these probation things. And he brought the writings, and I read them home, and I told him exactly what those guys say so that he can appear in court. And you know, he told me, this is the number one problem. Nobody admits that they are in jail because they deserve it. And we don't admit, oh, this happened to me because I deserve it either. All right? So look at what Proverbs 28:13 says. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But the who confesses and forsakes, then will obtain mercy. That's absolutely beautiful. If you conceal your transgression, you go nowhere. Because God is going to block you. You maybe for the moment, you just navigate, but God is going to block you. And so that is a biblical reorientation. People fix their life. When they come in counseling, I listen, and it's okay, I want to do this, and I wait 2 weeks. Then I call the person, how things go? It's what you did. No, I just had the things go. Tell me, have you think about it? Have you meditated? Is anything changing in you that you have to tell me? Because people will tell you emotionally something that happened today, and 2 weeks later they will see the same event in a different way. So I usually take 2 months before I take action, so the person can tell me 3 times what happened. Then I look in my writings what they said, and the third time is quite different than the first time, because they are seeing things in a different perspective. In other words, they are no longer concealing their guilt, they are letting go a little bit, and so then you understand a little bit more about that person. So that's very important. Number five, guard your affections. Guard your affection. A man, Proverbs 11 and verse 17 says, a man who is kind benefit himself, but a cruel man hurt himself. Being kind doesn't mean you are dull or you are soft or you are not a man. But the Bible tells us a man who is kind benefit himself. Not only you produce the benefit to the other person, not only you produce the benefit to those around you and to those who fellowship with you, but the one who get the best of life is himself. We are getting a lot of young people in our church, and most of them, they have a very difficult background. Jails, drugs, bad homes, which is the origin of all of this. And I never changed my mind to judge them. I asked them to forget the past. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, we are a new creature. I said, you forgot the scripture, brother. Don't tell me that story again. Here it is. He said, are you living like that? No. He said, well, then don't tell me. In other words, I can see some of them physically and mentally, what they have done is affecting them. I have a man in another church here where it's Shallow Mountain now. He was a just gentle guy, 19 years old, but he took drugs with wine and beer, and you never recover when you mix alcohol and drugs. And they had days that were very good and days that were very bad. They wanted to beat everybody and so on. And they were in the Spanish class in that church. We have over 300. And he was mad sometimes. But when he saw me, he cooled off. Many times I went to jail to pick him up. Many times I went to the hospital. The parents remembered me. Each time he saw me, he changed completely. And so the officer one time said, what happened? You blew up here. This man comes in and you relax. He said, he's a very kind man. Even those who are off, they recognize when you are kind. So you benefit yourself. I was able to talk. I was able to get him out of this and move it. Never recover. I don't know if he died or not at this time. But they live by Modesto. Sometimes they see me and so on. It's sad when you ruin your life so young. And I tell you, it's so important that you guard your affection. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. Just be kind. Be kind. All right? The next thing to do is reverence for God gives man strength. In Proverbs 14:26, the Bible tells us the unmistakable thing. The Bible says, in the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence. It's knowing what you know is in what you do. You got it? It's knowing what you know. It's like Paul writes, like Jesus writes. He writes 4 Beatitudes to tell you the inner man need to be in this way. And here's the benefit of that. And today we saw when you're humble before God, then you are merciful. And this is when you fear the Lord, then you have in a strong life. You are like a house in the middle of the ocean with the lights telling people where the shore is. And I tell you, it's so important. We lost that. The church is confused, and they want hundreds of people in the church who had no idea of God, who got an easy sermon to go and no affection to their mind and heart. And the only thing they measure church today is by their physical growth. And do not understand what I say in my report. The church is an organism. And if I feed the organism should grow. And number is not the question, is personal life. And I saw in this church the personal life of people. Very few churches can count like me with families who I saw their children being born and one seen this morning in the pulpit. That's very few people. And the reason is because you feed the family, then the family are reflecting Christ and are a benefit to their own family and a benefit to any guest that comes into their home. Because that's very, very natural. And people said, well, this happened. Well, it's supposed to happen. And the fear of the one, there is a strong confidence. The only thing you have to do to have a safe family is to fear the God. The only thing you have to do to have a good marriage is to fear God. I asked Luke, I was going to marry Amy. I said, only ask you one question. I said, look, do you fear the Lord? He said, oh, yes, sir. You know, he's military fellow. Yes, sir. He almost threw like that. You know, I'm afraid. And I said, look, then Amy will have a great man if you fear God. I care less if you're an officer or not an officer. I care less what your destiny will be militarily, but I care that you fear God. So that Amy will have a man who will protect her and care for her and love to her. Even after the parents die, you will be just a strong confidence in her life. Because a woman needs a man where she can lean their shoulder all the time. And the only thing the man has to do is fear the God. All right? Now, we have a biblical warning. You cannot work through your differences with someone who is emotionally disturbed until disturbance has been adequately resolved. Some people trying to do this, they had no experience, they had no idea, and you try to work with somebody who is mentally disturbed. That disturbance is caused by something. That something need to go before you talk to them, and the Bible endorses that. In Proverbs 25, and in verse 20, the Bible says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. Have you tried it? I laughed when I read it. God is funny. Vinegar on soda. Now, I took for medication vinegar on soda. You take one glass of soda and half of vinegar, and you white vinegar in the morning, and you heal quickly. In 3 days, you have no more cold, said Dr. McCormick. And I tried it, and it works. But it's ugly. it's just really bad. And so, when we deal with people, not everybody can counsel everybody. When you deal with people, you have to consider all these details. If this person is mentally disturbed, if this person has a difference and an emotional disturbance, that emotional disturbance has to go away. So the Bible says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment in a cold day. In other words, you have to become tough with that person and say, these need to be dealt first. It happened 2-3 weeks ago here in our church. Somebody came to me from another church to see me in this. And I said, now look, I take this seriously. I will call this other pastor. It was involved two pastors in different churches. Money was involved. Stolen, they said. So before I blow the whistle, I want you to think carefully why you told me this in this church. And the person told me today, I had to say, I don't talk to nobody. I just keep it in my heart for 2 weeks. And the person said, I said, well, have you resolved your problem? He said, I think so, Pastor. I don't say anything. Come and see me and tell me. He said, you have done anything? Yes, I have prayed that you come to senses with your disturbances. He said, well, everything came together. See, it's very important that you know this. Otherwise, you blow, you call another pastor, you call the other, and you make a big whistle or something that somebody personally has said wrongfully. It's so important to study this in the scripture, all right? It's very important. Now, a biblical reflection. It is hard for you to ask for help from another person. This is my questions to you. These are soft questions for Bethel. It is hard for you to ask for help from another person. And you do it personally. You do it with somebody you know is not going to blow whistles. Somebody you can trust. Somebody you can say things and say, now, this is what happened to me. Unfortunately, as a pastor, I get to know things, and I had to preach, and it hurts hard when you know details of people, then you have to preach on an issue. That's what I preach series, a sermon, series of paragraph, or series in books, so nobody can blame me and say, oh, you preach about me. No, I just take the book, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, whatever's there, we preach it. And there are people who sometimes, they have a hard time to ask for help, and they keep it to themselves, and then become resentment the next day, and they are very, and you need to know that you have to let it go, find a brother, a sister, you can have confidence, and tell the story, many times until all frame together, and the two can help each other. That's very important. Then do you have someone with whom you can be totally open? That's very important in life. You know, and on Wednesday night, I think that I got a little light on the young people telling me things that happen in their activities and life, and so we can pray more in detail. But you don't know a word, not even my wife, because I cannot tell you. That is between me and them. Now, if it involves parents and involves something else, I will act quickly, but it's just part of life, and they need to tell somebody, pray for this or pray for the other, and it's just unbeautiful, because you cannot hold it to yourself. What did Jesus did? He had somebody. Remember what he did? He went to pray in the garden many times. Five times in the Bible says Jesus walked to pray. He has God. He has God. He told the Father all the things they went through. Then what are some positive things you can do to enhance the health of your own emotional life? You think that way. Don't need medicine. What you need is, what can I do to change the things that happen to me? We have in the church people who are emotionally disturbed. Some of them tremendously emotionally disturbed, singles and young, with great potentials, master's degrees in science, and don't know what to do in their life. Because they don't think, what can I do to change? Or they know what they have to do, and they don't want to do it. And so they call me all the time. We have lunch, we have this, I don't know how, that's why I cannot lose weight. Like, come for lunch. Well, I go to lunch, I want to eat. So come for lunch, come for this, come for that. And I listen. And we are at the same, when we finish luncheon, we are at the same spot that we were at the beginning. But I have listened. And I said, I want to pray. And things changed a little bit. And then they called me. And they said, this and the other. Doesn't matter what time it is. 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's just so beautiful. Because, see, you need to think positive. You need to think positive. When somebody told me 26 years ago, you better get out of town because you never will have a church here. I said, sir, you really are right. I will never have a church, but God will. God will. A man died in Oregon. A nice pastor from Shadow Mountain. Nice pastor. He wanted to have all the people over there, he said. And so why are you here? He said, ask God. He said, well, and we were in Gilroy. We were meeting on the little room there in Gilroy. He said, you get out of here because you have that room full of people. And I need my church full of people. And I just laugh about it. I can't tell anything. I just laugh about it. And I was having breakfast with a little place here. Nothing like this was built. Remember, there was only one place to eat. Seen this on their car. Dirty, worse, the bowling alley in Gilroy. But all dirty, but all the people with money went over there. And I was in radio, and Radio Casa was over there. And I was in the Spanish radio and talking to them. And this guy came, and I was in a meeting, came in and said, you get out of here like this. Amazing. I said to him, give me a tremendous peace. Say, God, a man can never build a church. Never. But God can. So you think positive. You know where you stand, and you think positive, and you go a long way. Now, it's very important then that you cope with emotional disturbance. Don't let it go in your life. It will make you tired. You know, there are some people sometimes they call me and say, I'm tired, Pastor. I said, check your head. Check your head. Because I run an hour and I don't get tired. It's just a physical exercise doesn't tire anybody. Oh, you get a little exhausted. That's a different thing, but not tired. You're running to run again. you run 40 minutes and then you relax five and then you're ready for your heavyweight liftover and so on. Come on. But if you have mental problems, you're going to be tired. So solve them. Don't keep it to yourself. Just solve them. Find a way. What does God say about it? And then the next one is, what can I do to do this? And then you pray. So emotional disturbance is a reality, but it's not an impossibility. That's what I want to tell you. When we are believers. When we are unbelievers, I tell you, the amount of drugs people have to take is so bad that later on looks like zombies. And I have an example. I don't know if the man lived or died. Casada's son. I dealt with the Casada family, one of the founders here. I dealt with him intensively. The man took off. We don't know if he lives now or not. But one thing I know, he took so much medicine, that ruined the man forever. And take God's medicine will give you stability. Thank you, Father, for your word teaches life and is good to us. Bless us and give us a good mind to understand what you want for us. And especially to have a balanced life, a very helpful life. A life full of vigor, full of intensity. Lord, even in sickness, give us a positive mind to thank you for our body and to thank you for our system and to look for great things ahead. Because you can use us all, regardless our condition. Lord, in the society in which we live to perform and to do things, emotional disturbances are real. But when we have our eyes fixed on you, all the disturbances have a solution. Help those who are in problem to look into their heart and into your word and find a way out. Because the Bible said, together with the trial, you gave us the way of escape. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a great week today.